Day 6033. I wake up the next morning as Alexander Lin. His alarm goes off, playing a song I really like. This makes waking up much easier. I also like his room. Plenty of books on the shelves, some of their spines worn down from rereading. There are three guitars in the corner, one electric. The amp still plugged in from the night before. In another corner, there's a lime green couch, and I know immediately this is a place where friends come to crash. This is their home away from home. He has post-its all over the place with random quotes on them. On top of his computer is something from George Bernard Shaw. Dance is the perpendicular expression of a horizontal desire. Some of the post-its are in his handwriting, but others have been written by friends. I am the walrus. I'm nobody. Who are you? Let all the dreamers wake the nation. Even before I've gotten to know him, Alexander Lin has made me smile. His parents are happy to see him. I have a sense that they're always happy to see him. Are you sure you're going to be okay for the weekend? His mother asks. Then she opens the refrigerator, which looks like it's been stocked for at least a month. I think there's enough here, but if you need anything, just use the money in the envelope. I feel something is missing here. There is something I should be doing. I access and discover it's the Lin's anniversary tomorrow. They're going on an anniversary trip, and Alexander's gift for them is up in his room. One second, I say. I run upstairs and find it in his closet. A bag festooned with post-its, each of them filled in with something his parents have said to him over the years. From A is for apple to always remember to check your blind spot. And this is just the wrapping. When I bring the bag down to Mr. and Mrs. Lin, they open it to find 10 hours of music from their 10-hour drive, as well as cookies Alexander has baked for them. Alexander's father wraps him in a thankful hug, and Alexander's mother joins in. For a moment, I forget who I really am. Alexander's locker is also covered in post-it quotes, in a rainbow of handwritings. His best friend, Mickey, comes by and offers him half a muffin, the bottom half, because Mickey only likes the tops. Mickey starts telling me about Greg, a boy he's apparently had a crush on for ages. Ages meaning at least 3 weeks. I feel the perverse desire to tell Mickey about Rhiannon, who's only two towns away. I access and find that Alexander doesn't have any crushes himself at the moment, but if he did, they'd be female. Mickey doesn't pry too much about this, and quickly other friends find them, and the talk turns to an upcoming battle of the bands. Apparently, Alexander is playing in at least three of the entrants, including Mickey's band. He's that kind of guy, always willing to chip in with some music. As the day progresses, I can't help but feel that Alexander is the kind of person I try to be. But part of what makes his personality work is his ability to stick around, to be there day in and day out for people. His friends rely on him, and he relies on them, the simple balance on which so many lives are built. I decide to make sure that this is true. I zone out of math class and tune in instead to Alexander's memories. The way I access him, it's like turning on 100 televisions at the same time. I'm seeing so many parts of him at once. The good memories, the hard memories. His friend Kara is telling him she's pregnant. He is not the father, but she trusts him more than she does the father. His father doesn't want him to spend so much time on the guitar, tells him music is a dead-end calling. He drinks his third can of Red Bull, trying to finish a paper at 4 a.m. because he was out with friends until 1. He is climbing the ladder of a treehouse. He is failing his driver's test and fighting back tears when the instructor tells him. He's alone in his room, playing the same tune over and over again on an acoustic guitar, trying to figure out what it means. Ginny Dulles is breaking up with him, saying it's just that she likes him as a friend, when the truth is that she likes Brandon Rogers more. He's on a swing set, 6 years old, going higher and higher until he is convinced this is it. This is the time he will fly. He's slipping money into Mickey's wallet while Mickey isn't looking, so later on, Mickey will be able to pay his share of the check. He is dressed as the Tin Man on Halloween. His mother has burned her hand on the stove, and he doesn't know what to do. The first morning he has his license, he drives to the ocean to watch the sunrise. He is the only one there. I stop there. I stop at this. I lurch back into myself. I don't know if I can do this. I can't block out the temptation that Poole offered. If I could stay in this life, would I? Every time I pose the question to myself, I get knocked back into my own life from Alexander's. I get ideas, and once they take hold, I can't stop them. What if there really was a way to stay?